Open up your ears and open up your mind. They'll reach into your throat and pull out your spine. And when the sun blows up and the earth is gone, there's still experience grind with Kyle and Sean.
Do you got the guts?
Do you have it?
I really did not enjoy Guts as a kid. I also didn't enjoy Legends of the Hidden Temple. Yeah.
What?
They weren't cartoons, so...
Oh, man, you're coming in with bombs on me here, dude.
Yeah. Like, I loved Hidden Temple when I got older. I think also because, you know, I'm a big fan of camp in general. Mm-hmm. And that show's camp as hell. But yeah, as a kid, I didn't really dig them. Especially, I didn't... Temple I could stand, oddly enough, for the fucking history trivia. But okay. Guts was all around just... I don't know. It wasn't my thing, man.
I feel like we grew up with as much talk about TV and like kid shows and stuff that we have done. This is blowing my mind that we've never actually talked about this before, because this is one thing where I think we're both on two different sides of the coin on this. I loved, you know, Rocco's Modern Life, and you know, if Rugrats popped on, like, you know, I would enjoy that in the background or something. But man, Wild and Crazy Kids.
I loved Guts, Wild and Crazy Kids, yes.
All of the game shows on Nickelodeon, mm-hmm. like Figure It Out, loved the shit out of that.
Didn't like Figure It Out. Didn't like that one.
Man, I loved all those.
Yeah. I think it was maybe that one I feel was just a little past my age bracket, because my sister liked it. I
can see that.
But I did not like that one at all. Even if it had like Danny Tamborelli, who, you know, yes. was Pete. I loved Pete and Pete. I couldn't. And they would have Lori Beth Denberg, too. I loved all that as a kid, but that couldn't get me. So.
Okay, follow up. Nick Arcade.
Yeah, I liked Nick Arcade video games.
Okay. Double Dare.
Again, if it was on, I could watch it, mostly because I did enjoy Mark Summers, but I wouldn't seek out Double Dare.
Wow, that is one that I actually thought that you would have liked, because like
I liked
everybody
Mark Summers,
I knew
yeah.
wanted to stick their hands right up in of that course, giant like, nose.
I think that's maybe why I didn't like it, because I wanted to run that obstacle course so bad, and I knew that I never would, that it was like this subconscious, this unseated petty. Like jealousy or petty. Yeah, like just already was hating, and I didn't want to enjoy it even osmosisly, because I knew I would never get to experience it. So.
I'm never going to space camp. Fuck this yeah, show.
That too. I think that was probably an issue I had with Legends of the Hidden Temple, because that was frequently a prize. And man.
Those in the yak box or whatever, and the shoes that you would get.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the BK Knights. What BK terrible, Knights, dog. Yes, dude. What terrible prizes as yes. a kid. Like, you come in, like, second place, and you're like, oh, man, I just got a pair of shoes. Your parents are probably like, yeah, I saved $60 on shoes.
That, they also, like, in the early round, like, if you go out in the first thing where you got to cross the moat, they give you candy. And I always wonder, is it a box of candy, or do you just get, like, a sleeve of, like, Nerds?
Cause that, I hope like, you got a box of them, man.
I always hope too, but it never says. Or like, sometimes they like, you get Nestle Quick, and I imagine they just give you like a thing of like Nestle Quick. Like that you
just
get
one
in the super,
packet.
Right.
Like a serving size?
Not a serving size, but like the thing that they sell in the stores that, you know, you can make like 30 cups of, but like, that's it. They're like, yes. There you go. Thanks for playing. You know, I feel
the
like you
round,
get
like Ovaltine or iced tea container.
I don't think even think like the big one. I think just like the regular everyday one, because that's probably what they get. Like that company sends just like 50, like a box of just like 50 of those. And then for like the next 50 episodes, that's what they give away to all the kids that lose.
What cheap advertising.
Oh, man. Yeah. But that's how Jesus. They fund that shit.
Yo, here's like 30 packs of Fun Dip. Give these out to the kids. They have to win
one
the
pack
stick
of
separately.
Fun. That's what I'm saying. I feel like they got a thing of Fun Dip, not a box. They got one. Because again, they lost on the first game too. Like a box is a hefty prize for going out early.
That's actually probably worth more than a pair of those shoes.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about it.
Yeah. Because, you know, the BK Knights, they only give away to, like, the kids that make it when there's only, like, two kids left. So, like...
Man, talk about, like, escalation of prizes here.
Of course, dog. That's how they...
Win, like, a bag of candy, a pair of shoes, and then a trip to Hawaii or to space camp.
Damn it! Why couldn't I have been on that show?
You better not choose space camp, kid.
Yeah, right. Sometimes there's, like... We've watched a lot of it because it's all on, like, the Paramount Plus. It's upsetting. They don't have full episodes of, full seasons of Salute Your Shorts, but they have, like, every episode of Hidden Temple. So I've watched them all now.
Nice.
There's a frequently, like, a ranch in California where, like, they're like, you gotta go to this ranch! And it's just, like, a shitty ranch where it's, like, basically the Hey Dude place. Where you can go ride a fucking horse. And that's what you can win if you make it through the temple. And then you watch later and, a kid gets space camp or the fucking Bahamas cruise or whatever.
Yeah, I feel like it was the older episodes where you went to this ranch, like the 80s game shows. Mm-hmm. Because back then, what did you have to do? Nothing. It's like you can go ride a horse and pretend to be a cowboy. Hell yeah, send me to that ranch. 1991 hit, though.
You're done.
Check me out of there, baby.
They also, like, they'll say, like, you want to stay at this resort or hotel, and they show a picture of just, like, a giant glass box next to all these other glass boxes, and it's like, it's this one! And it's great shit, man.
Yeah.
It is real nostalgic.
It is really fun to go back and watch some of those shows. Mm-hmm. Like when we went down and visited you guys back in March and we just watched like a handful of Hidden Temple episodes in a row.
Yeah.
Like how fast those can go by. You're three of them at such an incredible clip. And then next thing you know, Supermarket Sweep's on.
Oh, yeah, it's baby. Like
all of those just back to back. They're very entertaining for just how trash they are.
I should have looked to see if we had Guts. I'm sure Guts is on there.
On the Samsung TV?
No, on the Paramount Plus where we watch the Hidden Temples.
Oh, didn't you have No, that's Supermarket Sweep.
Yeah, Supermarket Sweep is the channel on the Samsung.
Of course Nickelodeon's not letting it have its own channel.
That's bullshit.
What was I thinking? What an idiot.
I'd watch it all the time.
I canceled my Paramount Plus live on air last week. So.
Oh, yeah. That's right. We didn't need any streaming service, booyah, to this movie this week. Somehow I found a full HD copy just uploaded straight to YouTube. Maybe giving the game away on that one. Because now maybe YouTube will pull that shit. Because that's not a legal upload. That was just some dude's channel. Because if you notice, he also called it...
Breasts.
Well, there's breasts, too, but he calls it the trailer, but it's just the full movie.
His name on YouTube is Trailer.
Yeah, it was great. So
I'm glad that you linked me to that. And then I was, like, really confused that you told me it was free on Netflix. I'm like, dog, YouTube is the easiest way for me to watch anything. I got that shit on premium.
Yeah, and that's, I thought... But I wasn't, I think you thought that I meant for like it was a free rental or whatever. I was like, nah, dog, this is just some dude uploaded it.
Hell yes.
Yeah. And it is a really good quality. Like I said, I think it's like 720. Yeah.
Honestly, I'm probably for the cover art just going to pull a screenshot from that. Like it looked completely fine on my monitor.
Yeah. I watched it on a nice fucking TV and it looked perfectly fine.
Amazing.
It's beautiful.
But
what the hell else?
Folks, this is week one.
Yes.
Week one of the most magical time of the year, part
super
two.
Metal right there. The half December. I also realized, I think we even discussed it last year. I was walking around work though and I just laughed at myself because it's absolutely not half December. That would be June.
Oh man, you're right.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I think I always got caught up in the fact that they always, you know, they say Christmas in July.
Yeah.
Which is why it's here, because we started it as like forever ago, a thing about Die Hard not being a Christmas movie, and it's evolved to this that it is now.
It's action movies for Christmas. Mm-hmm. Christmas in July, so
action movie half action December movie
in July. Yeah, exactly. And now that we talk about it, we absolutely just called it Action Movie December Part Due.
Oh yeah, that is right.
So like we've just been making an ass out of ourselves for the last month. Nobody noticed. I just did, but nobody noticed.
We rule so hard. I do love this time of year, man. I look forward to the action movies. We both do because we love it so much, man. That's why we have this month in the middle of the summer, because we loved all the action movies we watched so much. We just wanted to watch them more. And there's so fucking many.
There are so many, and there's so many good ones. Like, we'll never run out of, like, good things to watch. Or at least things that have a high likelihood of being good to watch. It's summer blockbuster, you know? Yeah. But we get to package it in this stupid Christmas in July bullshit. I love it. I look forward to this month in December. Every year. 2 months out of this year, I enjoy doing this.
So this year, for whatever reason, we kick it off with my choice, which was a 2005 little kung fu flick with Jet Li called Unleashed.
Hell yeah, we did.
Which also had the working title Danny the Dog.
I'm glad that they went with Unleashed.
100%. It's a way better movie title. Danny the Dog is silly. I think Danny the Dog is
pretty trash.
Yeah. I mean, I get why, like, it makes sense on the surface level, but yeah, it's a dumb name for a fucking movie, especially not one about a friendly dog.
Yeah, it's not about a friendly dog, and, like, the whole story thing that he is this dog, that he's Bob Hoskins, that he's Super Mario's dog, is... like a little asinine, like even in the first 10 minutes of the movie, and it gets even more long in the tooth by the end of the movie. Like, I understand Bob Hoskins' character being just like a dehumanizing, disgusting fuck.
Oh yeah.
But man, it got old pretty quick.
He's what is it? Bob Hoskins is a Cockney gangster.
Yes.
And he keeps Jet Li as his attack dog, who is a small Chinese man who brutally beats anyone as soon as he takes off his dog collar.
I thought, okay, so that premise I thought was awesome. It was as soon as they just kept hammering it over the head, over the head, over the head. You're a dog. You're my dog. You're just a dog. I'm like, just shut up and just let the actions fucking speak. I get it. I understand what's happening. Shut up.
You got Bob Hoskins, man. You're going to get him to chew scenery.
Yeah, he absolutely, he killed it in this movie.
Oh, yeah. Honestly. He's so much fucking fun to watch the entire time because, number one, it's Bob fucking Hoskins.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
crushing it. You also got, surprise, Morgan Freeman is in this movie.
That was a shocker.
Yeah, I didn't want to tell you. I wanted you to catch that naturally because you have no idea, dude. Yeah,
bruh. When his name popped up, I was like, "Wait, yo, what? What's Morgan Freeman doing in this movie?"
And then he's the blind piano tuner.
Yes, who's like the adoptive, not really adoptive, but like adoptive father,
stepdad. Yeah. Of this girl.
Victoria, played by Carrie Condon. I thought she did an excellent job of just playing. It felt like she was playing a character that was like 5 to 6 years younger than what her character age in the movie was. Mm-hmm. But trauma can do that, whatever. between the four of them, I feel like they really rounded out this movie's cast, like really held it together.
And then you have Jet Li in one of his final martial arts performances. He was supposed to retire from martial arts movies after this one, but, you know, money talks. He did come back after a few years.
What, another two?
two or three, I think.
Why is it? Oh, he did the Expendables. No, I mean, he did three in the Expendable movies alone.
Yeah, he's playing a much more low-key. I mean, he is doing Kung Fu because it's Jet Li, but it's not as crazy as this.
Is there a reason why he scaled back so much? I don't know that story.
He was already old when he was making this, man. He'd been doing movies in China forever, sort of like, you know, Jackie Chan. And he does his own stunts, too, I think. It just it wore on him a lot more.
I had no idea that he... I can't find how old he is, but while watching this... Oh, 63?
Yeah.
Okay, so he's 61 years old right now. So he was 40-ish when this came out. Okay, I was trying to figure out his age because I did find it a little weird when he was like blushing and whatever when Victoria kissed him on the cheek. And I'm doing quick maths real fast.
Quick maths, hop chop.
Yeah, I'm doing the Lethal Weapon maths from, remember when we talked about that? That was creepy.
He was also, Jet Li is, I like Jet Li a lot. I've watched a lot of Jet Li movies. I own a few too. I like Hero. He's got two movies set in like ancient Japan, I think called Legend and Legend 2. Those are both really good kung fu movies, but they're like 3 hours long.
I would watch those.
He's got one called, is he in Exit Wounds with Steven Seagal? He might be in a different one.
I don't see it on his list right now.
It was in like 2001. It was after Romeo Must Die.
In 2001.
Kiss of the Dragon. That might be it, to be honest with you. There's Romeo Must Die. There's the one. I love... Jet Li fucking rocks, man. He just
One ruled.
Yeah, he just didn't he did not have the comedy chops of Jackie Chan, which makes Jackie work so much better. Jet Li is a much more serious, but it's... He also didn't pick up... Well, I mean, Jackie didn't really have any success till Rush Hour, and he didn't know what he was saying in Rush Hour. He just had a guy there that told him what to say in English, and he would copy it.
Yeah, but he just had really good delivery. I think both of them can be... I mean, it's really tough to even compare the two. Sure, because of like their background, and sure, the style of action movie it is, but that's really all you can compare because, well, I guess that is a lot. But, you know, one is just way more action speak louder than words. And another, you know, Jackie Chan is a little bit more dialogue heavy. As witnessed by this movie where you don't even have Jet Li's character, Danny, talk until halfway through the movie.
Yeah. He just he does a lot of faces and a lot of sad faces and a lot of fighting.
Actually, so I took a hard pivot there when I said I enjoyed the premise of the whole dog thing and really detracted from where you're going with like the whole plot on this. So you have Bob Hoskins' Bart, who is this, you know, this crime lord gangster dude who's just kind of loan sharking everybody, or not even loan sharking, but collecting his share from all the businesses. Yep. And if they don't pay up, he sicks Danny on them by by unhooking his collar and just telling him to kill him and then hooking it back up. Now, we see that's a pretty messed up situation. If you couldn't already figure that out by the fact that he's got a dude in a collar, pretty messed up. But where it takes another weird turn is in the course of a day, he goes to shake down this jewelry dealer guy, and that almost goes pretty bad. But one of the people trying to buy stuff from the guy witnesses what's going on and invites them to this Mortal Kombat club kind of thing, a fight to the death club, which I honestly thought was going to be much more of this movie.
It does throw you through a curve. It's there to show, I mean, I'll be honest with you. That whole section is to give us more Jet Li fights. That's the entire reason.
And that's
this
fine.
Whole Fight Club subplot exists, is so we can see Jet Li do two more fights. And I love that they just have like the umbrella case full of just random melee weapons that anybody can toss into the ring. The movie is...
Why?
I classify... There's another movie that is very similar to this that I'm also pretty sure you've not heard of, but maybe you have because of your association with... Anyways, Green Street Hooligans.
I love that movie.
Yeah, right? I classify this in the same way...
That's one of my favorite movies.
It's like British schlock. Like, because Green Street Hooligans is a lot of fun, and it's actually pretty, like, emotional, too, but it's also very surface-levelly shit.
I just got goosebumps, like, thinking about that movie. That movie, like, emotional.
It's really fucking good.
It's so good. And it's like, man, it was one of those movies. I haven't seen it in a while, like, at least 10 years. But I remember being younger and watching that and be like, the same time that I was in love with Boondock Saints. You know?
Sure. I could see that. Ugh. I remember Green Street Hooligans. Like, I went over to, there was this house that was like the party house, like at the end of high school. Like, there's these guys, everybody moved off to college up in Bloomington, and these one guys had a house together, and that's where all the parties were. And dude, I remember going over there to like get something because I played shows there, and I had to pick something up like a day or two later. And I knew the guys, and I walk in. And again, this is like fucking 2 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon. I was just out running errands, and they're like, laying on like this broken couch that's on the floor, like watching a TV. They're like, hey, we just started this movie, Green Street Hooligans. You want to watch? I was like, I mean, I'll hang out for a bit. I'll check it out. And then like literally just sat there totally engrossed the whole fucking time. Was like, this is like the best thing I've ever seen.
Hell yeah,
it's a really
dude.
Kick-ass movie. That's my story of it.
I'm really glad that you brought that up. And I'm glad that you said that you didn't think that I would have ever heard of it. And I'm like, oh man, I love that.
No, I thought that you had heard of it. That's what I was saying. Oh, okay. Because I know you are kind of like a soccer guy, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's people like that that have heard of it.
The thing is I don't go out of my way to watch things on soccer. And I
sure,
don't.
Yeah.
And even if I had heard that was about soccer, it wouldn't have gotten me to watch it. I don't know what prompted me to watch it. It may have been a very similar situation as to you, because I think the first time I saw it was like at my cousin's house back in 2007, 2008, go over, everybody's like on the tail end of a party and just laying back on a couch being like, hey, you want to watch this movie? Yeah. And
sure.
Next thing you know, I freaking love that movie.
But like, I brought that one up because I would put Unleashed in like the similar category to that, where it's just like this weird sort of foreign movie with people that you know, but you've never heard of. Because, like, yeah, we've heard of Green Street Hooligans, but there's so many people who have no idea that movie exists. And it has Elijah Wood and Charlie Hunnam in it. Like, that dude blew the fuck up after that.
That was an early Charlie Hunnam.
Yeah.
I've introduced so many people to that movie. Like, you're right. Like, people who had never even heard of it before. Mm-hmm. And to me, that blew my mind. I was like, how have you never heard of this movie? This movie's amazing.
Because it exists, like, in this weird British filmiophile, like they have their own little type of like Hollywood where they put this stuff out. Like even the box art looks similar because they have like that green, that dark green, like, I don't know, it just has this UK energy to them both.
It has its own little architecture, box architecture.
Yeah. And like I said, you know, this one's got fucking Bob Hoskins, Morgan Freeman coming in as the American.
It's so weird. I had no idea. This was filmed and set in Glasgow.
Yeah.
I had to, spoilers for a new rating system at the end of the show. I had to figure out what the setting was for this because I was like, where is this?
And
so I looked it up.
Classified it as UK crime.
Hmm.
Grime crime.
So
it's a grime crime.
Spoilers on something for later in the movie. I wish that the movie did go in a direction that I wanted it to, where he actually gets recruited into this fight to the death club, underground club. And like the whole story kind of goes from there. Like he gets really deep into that. He's got to figure out how to get out of that and be this, you know, be a human again. Maybe Morgan Freeman saves him. But
which he does. No. So like Bloodsport, kind of?
Yes, like Bloodsport. But like this, the fights in that pit that for some reason had these ever-changing rules. Like when they come back to the pit later and the creepy guy who recruited him is like, I'm going to make this more interesting. And he sends in like 8 more fighters who only attack Danny.
Yeah.
Like this just became like a 9-on-1 for no reason at all.
It's because he can fucking take him, dog. It's Jet Li showing Jesus. That shit off when yeah. he's fighting all the dudes. I love it because it, yeah, I was laughing at it too. But I mean, we're going to see it a lot, especially in Kung Fu, where everybody waits their turn to get their ass kicked. You yes. got to love that.
Absolutely. Oh, I'm up next. Here I come.
Like, there's all these dudes with, like, weapons that could just bash him in the back of the head when he's, like, flipping around and nobody's just... Everybody has well, okay. at least this respectful honor.
You say that, and I know what you're talking about, but what I loved about this movie was how it did buck some of that a lot of times. Like, the choreography and fight scenes in this movie... A lot of the times he is fighting 2 or 3 at the exact same mm-hmm. time with like different parts of his body. And it was just so awesome. It wasn't that like fight one, move on to another. Like he jumps up on someone's chest like a gorilla and is pounding on them and backflips into a kick into somebody else's head. Oh man, it was wild.
Like I said, it's got a lot of like the Kung Fu-y shit, but what I told you was like, there's not a lot of like the graceful flipping through the air, the kicks, like the him Jet Li and the fight choreographer work to make Danny's fight style a very brutal, like in your face, constant aggressions type shit, like an attack dog, which mm-hmm. I think they really fucking achieve. Cause man, like Jet Li is like relentless in this flick, dude. And I love how he uses all, like you said, all parts of his body. There's a great thing I love all the time, but I think this is the first movie I ever saw it in where, like, he uses his head against a guy's fist that's trying to punch him to, like, hurt the guy's hand. Because, mm-hmm. like, he recognizes it and, like, I love shit like that.
Yeah.
And then a thing that I've never noticed until I watched it this time is that, similar to a dog, like, in every fight, Danny goes for the neck, like, immediately. Like, just like a dog goes for the fucking neck because mm-hmm. that's how they, like, fight themselves, you know? I just thought that was a cool little touch. Because, like, even the first fight in the pit, he just walks up and, like, hits that dude 3 times in the throat immediately and takes him out. And that's when it, like, the first yeah. time it clicked, I was like, oh, dude, he's been going for the throats a lot. Like a fucking dog.
Really I thought cool. that was really sick. The whole introduction to that pit, and he's going against, like, the reigning champion and goes in and in 3 punches destroys his esophagus.
A gimp mask with, like, metal spike mohawk, and when we first are introduced to him, he smashes 2 bricks on his own head.
It's yeah.
so fucking extreme and over the top.
Very extra.
It's a very stark contrast to the rest of the feel of the movie. Like you say, it does feel like it's tacked on and like doesn't fit really with the overall tone. And we just get 2 scenes in there again, really just to see Jet Li do more stuff.
Yeah. It feels like it could have gone 1 of 2 ways. Like, it feels, with the way that the movie goes, it's very much so in stark contrast to that. Like, it could have gone one or the other way, and I don't think it should have gone both ways. But, so, just prior to that, you can see Jet Li's character, Danny, kind of looking through his books. He's, like, kept in a cell. Mm-hmm. Underneath the ground, under these grates, and all he has is a punching bag. And
I love that when he breaks his punching bag, he doesn't even use his band-aids on his own cut head, but he patches up his punching bag. Oh, mm-hmm. Give me tears.
It was very gently. Cute. He just wanted to heal his buddy.
Oh, so cute, man.
But he gets very distracted because in his little alphabet book, because he's been there for a very long time. More on that later. He's gets to pee and there's pianos. And they end up in a place, an antique shop, that has pianos where we're first introduced to Sam, Morgan Freeman's character, as You have Danny kind of playing the lookout as Bart and his henchmen are going in to try to do it a peaceful way. But if this light goes off, you know, run in to save us.
Again, it's such a just a setup to get Danny alone. Because why do they not fucking take him in with them to the negotiation? They do
every other scene.
Again, it's so silly. And I love the emphasis on the light. Like, again, even this time I just went along with it. But it's so fucking obvious. And it's never really stuck out to me. But it's like, this is so silly. Why are they doing this extra light bit? I love
no idea. I thought it was so stupid. I thought it was funny that Sam's character could hear the light flicking.
He's like, I've been hearing this tick, tick. Do you know? Do you hear that? And then Danny's like, oh shit. He gets the oh shit face and takes off. Beautiful stuff.
I did
stuff.
Like the little bits of humanity that comes out in Danny's character.
Yeah.
Where you can see that there's something more to him there that's just been beaten and abused out of him.
He's like literally one of the most abused people in history. And yet he just shakes all that trauma off with a keyboard and a peanut butter sandwich. I love it, man.
No, it took a couple of weeks, but they got there.
He goes through like so much, like at all on his own too. There's like no intense therapy for a man that's been kidnapped in isolation for, let's say, 35 years.
Sounds 30, about right. 30 Knowing what we plus, know now about 35 years. Yep.
And just, just snaps out of that trauma.
Yeah.
To the point, again, I look, it's fucking action movie. We're hitting all the beats.
And they actually give us a timeline for that as well. So we go from there to the fight pit. So they leave the fight pit because Danny just won him $15,000. The guy from the jewelry store somehow knows exactly where they are and hits him with a dump truck or something.
Yep.
And his henchmen right shoot after up Bob that car.
Costin says, "Oh, it's such a beautiful day."
Danny escapes, goes back to the antique shop where Sam saves him because he's been shut up and he's goes down. From that point to when the henchman runs into Danny again and brings him back to Bob Hoskins is about a month.
Uh-huh.
So it has been about a month for him to pretty much fully rehabilitate.
Himself,
yeah. Well, with the help of Sam and Victoria.
Sure.
A lot mostly from Victoria, I think. That ice cream.
The ice cream.
Vanilla cold.
Again,
white.
I love... It's so oversimplified, but it fucking works, man. And like, it works in such a cute and unique way. I love that they do have him just eating ice cream and it becomes like this thing. When he takes the first huge bite, that's very Jackie Chan and it gives him like the ice cream headache.
Yes.
I'm surprised they never upgraded to chocolate. I've expected that to be a thing.
Yeah, just went straight vanilla. You know, I didn't think it was as ridiculous until we just started right now talking about the time frame and how quick of a turnaround that really was.
Yeah.
Because it, like, as we're watching it come out in pieces. Like you have these three scenes where he is just still, he can't open up. He's hiding underneath the bed. To the next three scenes where he's kind of going out on little errands with Sam and acclimating to community, and then him having full-on conversations to Victoria removing his collar is like the last final step before the henchmen run into him again. Mm-hmm. And he's right back into Bart's grasp.
I did like every time that they popped the collar off, there was the scarring on Jet Li's neck. That was cool. At the very beginning, they said that Bob Hoskins actually cut Jet Li's hair as they imagined, like he would for Danny. So that's why it's extra ratchety and crappy.
I thought it looked so good.
Uh huh. It does look a lot better, but even then, I love too when he gets a chunk pulled out and he doesn't even stop.
That was gnarly, dude.
So badass.
When
dude.
The dude ripped out his hair and his head just snapped around and he attacked the guy.
Like I said,
man,
it's so brutal like a dog. The fucking fight choreography was so, so fun, man.
Yeah.
And then I was just going to say, the only, one that I don't like is when he's in the pit the second time, because he doesn't really go off because he's trying to not fight anybody because he's turned the new leaf now. So he just does all kinds of defensive moves. And but man, he brings that dog back out at the end of that last fight.
He really does. And even by like the end of that second pit fight, like it was pretty badass when he realized that he just has to survive at this point, which leads to him not killing the guy, which makes Bart have to shoot the guy that's in the pit.
Still gets it.
Costs him a ton of money. And that's a big theme in this movie, is he's always going to be indebted to his character.
Yeah.
It's one of those. Unfortunately for Bart, while he was with Sam and Victoria, Victoria's mom died. Sam's best friend is Victoria's dad. He died before Victoria was born, so Sam married Victoria's mom, because that's a cool, fine, whatever, no judge. Mm-hmm. Then she dies, and there's this whole story about like Victoria missing her mom, and her asking Danny, what about your mom? He doesn't know her. And we see glimpses through the movie of him like getting flashbacks to like a specific scene, but we don't quite know until they put together this mystery of his mom was a pianist and Bart and his gang were like raping her. She fought back and they killed her right in front of him. Mm-hmm. And he took Danny and has had him since he was a little boy with this collar on, raising him to be a killer.
Yeah, because they said that he had spunk because Danny came out after they killed his mom and tried to attack him with the little radio.
Yes.
And that's why music is the central theme, and the piano especially. Mm-hmm. And that's why he identifies with it. And that's what starts this whole journey, is that, and Morgan Freeman is nice to him, you know.
What a nice guy.
Yeah. Also, Jet Li, like, in real life, is, like, a professional pianist. He's really fucking good at piano. So, that was funny.
Jesus Christ. Of course he is.
That was funny, him being not good in the movie.
That is crazy.
Again, it bashes you over the head with it. I love the subtle storytelling of Morgan Freeman is tuning these busted-up old pianos and making them sound beautiful again, which is what he's also doing to busted-up Jet Li. He's tuning him, making him.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's got fucking base storytelling, and it works. It gets us there.
So we got Danny, who after he's been, you know, taken back in under the custody of Bart, they do revisit the pit again because, of course, Bart's gonna want to make all the money he can. Danny doesn't want to fight anymore. He's got this new life and a new family that he's now been kidnapped from, goes through all these photos and whatnot of his mom, and that's where all the pieces start to fall in. Now, we do hit this turn towards the end of the movie where Bart is pissed off that Danny has escaped or ran away again, right? Mm-hmm. That's about what happens, right? Why am I talking on how he gets away there?
How does he get away the fucking second time? Oh, he just sneaks out, remember? Because they take him back and they put him in, and then there's like that scene he like slides the grate back and gets out, and he's going back home, and then it shows Bob Hoskins.
Oh, no! When he slides the grate out, that's to go through all the photos. And then we cut to Bart banging that lady, and Danny turns around in the chair and beats the crap out of Bart.
Yeah, he pulls his... He does kick his ass there, too.
Yeah, that's when he leaves.
He does this cool fucking move. Jet Li does it a lot in this movie, again, to emphasize the brutal style, where, like, especially if somebody's wearing a tie or anything like that, he'll, like, hook them around the neck, and then he, like, is stomping on their fucking chest.
Yes.
It's so brutal and badass. He does it, like, 3 times in this movie.
It's like a mixture of a dog and a chimpanzee.
Yes, and that's the other part. Like, it's very ape-like, because, of course, we are... apes. So it's that and like the viciousness of a dog, but like he, like you said, he jumps up on that one dude's chest like an orangutan almost, and he's getting him there.
I had to pause it and be like, How is he staying there? Like, what is he doing? I didn't understand it when I saw it. It was such a cool visual. I didn't understand it.
That's all you need to know, baby. It's cool looking. Let's fucking go. So, Danny the dog.
So long story short, he heads back to Sam's, and, you know, at that point he thinks his mom's, you know, was a whore because that's what Bart had said. And they all put it together because they look at this picture that they had of his mom playing a piano. They know exactly where that is because Sam's done all of these pianos.
It's two pianos, like side by side. And he
exactly.
Knows it.
So yeah. They go to visit that. Victoria goes, look, you can even see what your mom was playing. Zooms on the photo. She starts playing it, and boom, it's this one song that Jet Li's had in his head for his entire life. And that's what triggers this flashback that makes him realize that Bart killed his mom.
Yeah, bro.
Now, coincidentally, this is when Bart finds out exactly where Sam lives, which was really weird. Because how's that clerk lady going to know exactly where Sam lives?
True. I imagine it's just like a tight-knit community. Again, yeah, it's ridiculous, but
action movie.
We're there to get him to fucking fight. It again, we've overcome all of Jet Li's trauma 30 years in a month.
Yeah. So. Okay. Okay. So then we get the quintessential action movie trope of sending in all the guys.
All the guys. And the guys. One super cool tough guy.
Oh, I'm going to get there.
Okay, okay.
Because I got thoughts on that guy. So all of these guys, so like literally dozens of just street rat hoodlums sent in.
I love like that they look like the stereotypical 80s punk rockers. And it's like this movie's set in 2005. I was laughing my ass off at that. All the guys on the roof with like the leather jackets and the...
It looked like characters from a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie. It
was awesome. So I was like, hell yeah, costume department. You guys fucking knocked it out of the park.
So there's dozens of these guys coming in.
Yeah.
When there is no indication ever in this movie that there's anything more than 10 people in his entire gang. So dozens of them flooding into this apartment building or condo building or whatever. And Jet Li at this point hides Sam, hides Victoria pretty much in the same kind of cupboard that he was hidden in when his mom was
Symbolism.
Killed.
Symbolism!
Exactly. And so he exits that room and that apartment and just whoops ass all over the place. Tossing people through windows, down the stairs, on top of other cars, whatever. And sure enough, as you just mentioned... Outside in that white car, you got Bob Hoskins and this dude that was at the pit, at the fight club. Like, they showed him for
did
two
they?
Seconds.
I they never did. Noticed. That's
he
hilarious.
Was never even part of his crew. They showed him at the fight club just watching these fights go down. And next thing you know, he was in Bob Hoskins' car. Dressed in all white, like some freaking Jesus clone with white hair. It was so ridiculous that he had like a machete.
I think that's like a kung fu outfit or a karate. Yeah, I think so. I think he was supposed to be some like master, and that's why Bob Hoskins had hired him.
Okay, so some old... wrestling, not old wrestling fans, but like mid-2000 wrestling fans will get this reference. He looks straight up like Mordecai, that weird like anti-Undertaker that was brought in where instead of all black, he had pitch white hair, a white goatee, and wore all white. Looked straight up like Mordecai, and that boy looked dumb.
He did look dumb, and he had a really good fight, though. I liked his fight a lot.
On the rooftop?
And, like, in the whole... when he shows up at first, because Danny escapes down that, like, chimney, and he comes out in that one room, and he drops down, and he's got that fucking machete. And, like, he's doing a sword fight with a machete, and again, this was very Jackie Chan-esque. Danny just picks up fucking, like, fireplace tools. Yeah, the shovel. And I love it. Like, he gets a cut on that guy, and that really pisses him off. I love when he's... cutting his fucking fireplace tools with his machete.
That was cool.
That was badass. I love when they like break in to that lady's bathroom and they're just fighting in like the toilet room and it's this real cramped thing and they're just like, it's all these fucking.
She's in the shower. It starts tweaking out.
Just scream as you would. They start
fighting in the shower.
Yeah. It was like fucking this, great.
Like, it was like a 3-foot by 3-foot little room that they were fighting in.
I love too. I thought
that was the coolest fight of the movie.
Yeah, that's what that one where they're fighting in like the toilet, because like Danny sneaks into the toilet and like she's singing in the shower and like he's like sneaking out, and I love right as he's about to open the door, the guy just punches or kicks through it, and she's like, and they're fighting all around the bathroom for like, oh, it's such a good fight, man. Yeah, then they end up in the toilet in this super cramped space and just all kinds of elbows and shit. So brutal, dude.
I love how this fight ends. They're fighting, and we see Bart and his driver there moving the white vehicle. He's like, oh, yeah, let's get this car to safety. And, like, they show a top-down view of the car, and they've just, like, you know that scene in Austin Powers where he's stuck on the steamroller and he can't get it turned around?
Yeah.
Or whatever, the transport thing? That's how it looked, that the car was stuck in this alley. Like, it was, why did you get this like that?
Also, like, if you're, like, supposed to be a professional criminal, you've literally backed yourself into a corner where, like, you could be trapped at any point by the police. It's wildly inefficient for a crime boss. But, again, you have to imagine Bob Hoskins is just filled with fury and rage and has thrown caution to the wind, because he has.
This entire movie, I thought that Bob Hoskins as this role would have made a really dope, like, Penguin.
I 100% agree. I also did, like,
pretty sweet
Danny DeVito. But yeah, Bob Hoskins could have been a really good. It's also the Cockney, which is his natural accent, I believe.
Yeah. It's like his nose. Like, his nose just has a very evil flair to it.
He's really fucking good, man. And, you know, Bob Hoskins, that's a childhood hero, because that's fucking Roger Rabbit's homeboy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Roger Rabbit.
The trash Mario, fire. Yeah.
The Mario movie, of course, too. You know? That dude gave it his all when he knew that was total shit.
Good on him. Wasn't he, like, hammered the entire time?
That's what John Leguizamo says. They were both pretty schnookered most of the filming because they knew it was shitty.
So you got to get through that somehow.
I guess so, yeah. That's how they did it. But, yeah, Bob Hoskins just goes full Cockney. But the homeboy he hired, of course, gets kicked out a window, which is, man, I would not fight Jet Li near a window, guys. You should have learned this in the first 10 minutes of the movie. But yeah, he gets kicked out, falls, of course, directly on the car, kills the driver, the annoying guy. I'm sad the other guy, I don't feel like, ever shows back up. His other henchman, the bigger guy in the red coat?
Yeah, the other henchman that Bart explicitly says, do not shoot at him. Don't shoot him. I need him alive. And then the very next scene that we see him in, he has two guns and he's two rooftops away going, ha 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 ha. Just
that,
rifling freaking shots off at him. And that's how he goes down a chimney.
Again, just absolutely insane. And then Bob Hoskins gets the fucking Glock G13. That turns out, I forgot, but it's the fucking fully automatic version. And he just rips that thing off. That part's so badass.
I love that what sets him off is a pair of pajamas.
Right, he gets so pissed that Danny had a comfortable life.
Right? What a dick. This is what made you soft, a pair of pajamas? Like, it's so, I love how stupid action movies can be.
Right, like, yeah.
Like, to look at that and not, I'm sure back in 2005, someone, like, didn't laugh at, I'm sure some people didn't laugh at how absolutely over the top ridiculous that is, but man, oh, Jesus.
I feel like silly. I laughed. Also, again, this movie is so just bash you over the head with it. I love it when Jet Li's doing his sit-ups, but he has his little teddy bear that he can touch and hug. And he
boops his ears, boops his arms.
It's so fucking cute and sad and also so fucking ridiculous. But I love it, man.
Yeah.
I love it.
Oh, man. So it's a pretty good ass-kicking that Bart takes from Danny. Sam keeps Danny from killing Bart by smashing him over the head with a pot.
guy talks entirely too much. He just smashes him in the fucking face with a potted plant.
Was fantastic.
That's awesome.
Sam used that sonar location.
He knew where that blabbering mouth was. And just... ka-psh.
Oh, man. And then we pretty much just cut forward to Carnegie Hall where... Yeah. Maybe it wasn't Carnegie. It wasn't
Carnegie. Don't know. It's just that place. I think that
was... No, I don't think it was the recital.
I thought it was.
Maybe it was a recital. It was either recital or they cut far enough into the future where Victoria was actually playing at Carnegie Hall.
Either way, they're dressed very nicely.
And Victoria puts out a dedication. Turns out it is for Danny. And she plays the song that his mother played.
And it's got the little touch I love when Morgan Freeman leans over and asks him if his bow tie's okay. Because, again, Danny's been having a dog collar around his throat the whole time.
Yeah.
And, but he's like, no, this one's okay. And then it ends. Beautiful movie.
And then it ends. It's a straight shot to credits. I was
honestly
a little surprised at how quickly it cut to credits, but I am mad at it. This movie was an hour and 45 minutes. So.
Well, but then I noticed it's really not because the credits kick in right at like an hour 33. It's just the credits are that fucking long.
Are you for real?
Yeah. That's what I went. Go, maybe prove me wrong.
I'm still on it.
Yeah.
The credits start at 1:36.
1:36, yeah. Wow. So there's a full 10 minutes of credit.
Wow.
So that's what I was like. I was like, oh, that really wasn't super long.
That's actually crazy.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I got to keep that in mind going forward, that when I see a super long runtime,
it might not be. It might not
perhaps be. Perhaps it will be okay.
But I feel like that's also a product of, like, the UK movies because, like, the way that they shoot movies over there is so different. And, like, I'm sure there's way more people that get credits.
Oh, yeah. They're probably required to thank, like, literally every single person. Uh-huh.
Within, like, a 4-block radius of where they filmed for the day.
Yeah. The person down the street that Bob Hoskins got that one coffee from that one morning.
Did you read that story?
I have no idea what you're talking about, at where you're going to go with this.
So, yeah, like during the filming of this, when Bob Hoskins, he wears that white suit. Yes. And during one of them, we're like, he's got blood on it. Him and like one of the assistant directors, they walked down to a Starbucks because Bob wanted a coffee. And like, he obviously stood out. So like everybody there recognized him. And like, he just stood there and like signed autographs and took pictures for like 10-15 minutes until like the assistant director got a call that like, hey, we need Bob back on set, and they had to leave. But then that Starbucks just started giving coffee to the production team.
Did he get his coffee that day?
I'm sure he did. He was just hanging out, being cool with everybody.
That's cool.
Being Bob Hoskins. Good guy. Right.
I don't think I've ever heard a bad thing about Bob Hoskins.
No, I don't think I have either. He's always been apparently a treat to work with.
Yeah.
He's dead now, though, unfortunately.
Yeah, he died in 2014.
Damn, that long ago.
Yeah. Dude, fuck. Time's flying.
Wow.
Time is flying.
Huh. Jesus Christ. That's insane. So
that was that movie. And I will say, Kyle, what a great pick to kick off. Jesus, it's not Action Movie Half December.
Action Movie December Part Deux. Part two. Wow. I still like Half December a lot too.
We're so stupid.
It is. Yeah, man. Honestly, I thought it was good. I really, like I said, the thing that I remembered about this movie is the brutality of the fight scenes, and that the guy that did The Matrix and stuff did the choreography here and tried to go for a different, unique style, which I feel he achieved. The one thing for Action Movie December, there is quite a lull in the middle of the movie where we're getting a lot of this story and growth from Jet Li where there's not a whole lot of action.
There's not.
It's one that hit me watching it this time. I was like, I mean, we'll still qualify it an action movie. There's enough kung fu to get us there. But definitely there's a lot of space where there could have been some stuff.
I'm going to say that middle of the movie might make this suffer on my new scale that I'm about to introduce right now.
Let's go, bro. I'm ready.
Kyle, while watching this movie, I thought to myself, man, how cool would it be for these months to just kind of forego the normal rating systems that we have, where we rank a movie based on our enjoyment of it at that time, and actually create a list of arbitrary categories that we are going to rank these movies on based on a maximum amount of points that you can score in these categories. For instance, action quality. It can score a maximum of 5 points. This being an action movie, story can score a maximum of 1 point.
That's right.
We're going to call this the kick-ass-ometer. What did you call it?
Kick-ass-ometer.
Kick-ass-ometer. I'm going to read it as kick-ass-ometer.
That works too. Something.
I don't know.
Kick-ass-ometer, kick-ass-o-meter, all of that works.
So what I asked you to do was go through the categories that I sent to you, and we're just going to go back and forth and just give our ratings on it, and at the end, we're going to have a total pointage each. The total amount of points that can be scored on this kick-ass meter is 23 points. So we are going to be scoring this on a scale of 0 to 23 points.
Sure thing.
First category, Kyle, is action quality. The most amount of points that we can assign this category is 5.
This is the big ticket category coming out the gate hot. So I had a different number until you told me you were doing 0.5s, and so I've adjusted this one slightly. Which is action quality, I've scaled it down to a 3.5. I had it at a 4. I don't think it's perfect, but I really like all the fight scenes in this movie. But I don't think it elevates it to a 4. And like you said, there is quite a bit of a lull in the middle of the movie, so it's not action throughout. And as much action as there is, it's just one brand of action. It's all kung fu fights, which again, is fucking great, and the kung fu is top notch in this flick. But yeah, I'm going to put it at a 3.5. So I feel pretty happy with that.
3.5. Kyle, I'm so glad that you just said that. My action quality rating for this movie is a 3.5.
Hot damn, baby. Look at that shit. First one out the gate.
For pretty much the exact same reasons that you just gave, I think it's also a downside to this movie that I've seen so many great movies with, like the John Wick movies, where the action quality is through the roof. And it's like, it's really hard to justify giving this movie a top tier rating when I know that I've seen, even doing this show, like I'm pretty sure Commando is like Commando at least a 4.5.
I'd say Commando's probably a 5. Commando's like, that's a lot of action in that. Dude,
it's so much action, right? But there's also quality. Like, the quality in that, yeah. Like, towards the end where the same dude dies 14 times.
Beautiful.
Pretty. Beautiful. There should be a ridiculousness category that's, like, odd here as a bonus point. Yeah, so 3.5 on that. I think you have it in the same order that I do. Do you want to go back and forth?
Sure, yeah. So what, I got antagonist next?
Yes.
So this one, we had a maximum score pointage of 4. And on this one, I mean, I love him, man. Bob Hoskins. I'm going full 4 on this one. I think
you're going full send on this bad boy?
We'll be different because based on what you had said earlier, you kind of got his stick wore a little thin with you. I loved Bob Hoskins. I think you nailed it perfectly. I didn't have this idea till you said it, but he is a fucking Batman villain in this movie. He's so over the top. He's so ridiculous. He's the perfect Cockney British scumbag crime boss. Like, he's not even a big one. He's like a mid-tier guy. He's not running the show. He has his crew. And he's like Danny's. Yeah, Danny's part of it. He's not the fucking Joker. He's like, yeah, the Penguin, like you said. It's but I fucking loved it, man. Like I said, he's chewing every fucking scene. Bob Hoskins is a goddamn joy to watch every second in this movie, which is great too, because Jet Li is giving a very muted performance because he's supposed to be. So like that gives Bob Hoskins even more room to play in, and he does it fucking great because it's Bob Hoskins. So I say a 4, dog.
I am going to, you're right. Mine is going to be a little bit lower, but it's only lowered down to a 3.
Okay.
I think he is a fantastic villain in this movie. And I wouldn't have put the pieces together as well as you just did there. And like comparing him to a Batman villain like that, like I just kept seeing Penguin every time I saw him. But like even down to he's so mid-level, he's living in squalor.
Yeah. He doesn't have a factory. Yeah. it's a shithole.
It looks like Garbo. He's like basically just nickel and diming all of these businesses to get by. Like he's the highest prize possession he has is probably his car.
Or like, it's the only collection thing that doesn't look like shit. All the ribbon he's plowed.
Though, have we ever seen him actually get with anybody? Because every time he tries to, Danny's there creeping on him from the greats below.
He's about to fucking pork that chick from behind on top of Danny's fucking grate. Like, what are we doing, Bob Hoskins? I love he's got his like, pants around his ankles.
There. He's pulling up his pants all pissed off. I
know.
There.
It's so great. It's like, dude, you know he's there. You fucking put him there.
Way to ruin my time.
Ah, beautiful.
It's like, you piece of garbage. But like, even in the action movies that we've done in the past, I feel like we've just had like total farts of villains. And he kills it in this, even if his shtick got a little tired.
Fair enough.
I think another very important thing for action movies is taking a look at the body count.
Sure.
No, I don't think it's super, super high. So I did allot this a maximum point value of 3.
Yeah, 3.
So, Kyle, what'd you give this bad boy?
Honestly, came in pretty low on this one. I got a 1. There's good fights, but on an overall body count, I think like 2 people die. 2-3 maybe.
If that. I don't even know who dies.
It is pretty brutal when his mom gets shot and like they have that explosion of the blood. Like,
yeah.
That was pretty fucking good. Did like that. But yeah, overall, like not a high body count. Didn't really sell it for me on that. Cool fights, but yeah, I gave it a 1 on the body count meter.
I'm right there with you. I also gave this movie a 1. There was only a handful that I think were confirmed, and then a lot that was implied because, like, these are all fights to the death. But when you really break it down, if I can watch a Friday the 13th movie and have a higher confirmed body count than an action movie, something's wrong. So this, for me, had a 1 out of 3.
Nice. That takes us to the setting theme category, which I think the maximum score in this one was also 3.
Yeah, that may be a lot of allotted points, but we'll see where it goes.
We'll see.
I left room for wiggles.
I think for if I'm interpreting this one correctly, for me, I give setting theme a 3. I gave it pretty perfectly. Like it bashes you over the head with the theme of like Danny growing, but like, it's easy to understand. It gets there. It serves the story. It's entertaining to watch, if a bit infantile. I don't even care because, again, this is not like a fucking Oscar performance I'm looking at. This is an action movie. And I feel for that, the themes and the setting of like grimy London gangster shit worked perfectly for me. So I think it nailed every aspect of that.
Fantastic. I like hearing that perspective because I did come in at a lower 1.5.
Okay.
I thought the setting of this, while it could fit this movie, it just wasn't very interesting for an action movie. You know, so often we're used to seeing like just shipping containers for some reason or whatever's just cheap to shoot at.
Yeah.
And this felt very dark and very just rather uninteresting. There were a couple parts that did jump out. So in terms of setting, I thought the setting was very low. The theme of the movie and the overall theme of the movie, I think, really brought it up to a higher level for me. And I can completely see your thoughts on that. I'm just a little bit lower on it. So gotcha, I'm going to be at a 1.5 out of 3. All right.
You introduce the next one. I'll get the one after that.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Muscles. Man, this is an action movie. Where be the muscles? Maximum points of 2.
Maximum point of 2 on this one. We're exactly what you're saying. There's not any beefcakes in this movie. The only beefcake we see gets punched in the throat and taken out within 10 seconds.
Yep.
So I honestly, I gave muscles a 0. I mean, Jet Li doesn't even get shirtless and show off like the toned kung fu body of a man in captivity for 30 years. Overall, a big zip.
If Jet Li lost the shirt, this would have gotten an automatic 1 for me because you would have at least seen some rippage. This is like, how are you going to have an action movie with no rippage, dude? Mm-hmm. It's like, I don't know. It knocks it down a little bit. On this scale, no matter how arbitrary the scale is, it's going down a little bit. What we got next?
Next is a category that I feel was maybe tailored towards me, but I could also see it being tailored a little towards Phil and our good buddy Jean-Claude Van Damme. It's the butts category, which I'm going to take as both nudity. Like butts in the movie. I wouldn't say we could go straight nudity. I was thinking more sex appeal.
Yes.
Of like the woman in distress, whatever. But for whatever reason, butts could also mean, you know, a sweet Jean-Claude Van Damme booty too. So that's where I think it came this one's from. Yeah, which I like too. I think so for whatever reason, it's beautifully open to interpretation. Long story short to say, I gave this one a zero.
Ooh.
I don't remember any noticeable butts. There is some nudity, but I like that it was at least tasteful and sort of quick. But overall sex appeal, like the main character in the movie is an infantilized 20-something girl who is cute and quirky enough, but I'm not like...
when you first introduced to her,
yeah,
she's 17 in the movie.
Okay, did not know that. I still stand by what I say, where I'm glad I was not attracted to her. She is cute and quirky enough. But yeah, I'm not attracted to this person, which is good. But for that reason, that's why I said sex appeal, butts, zero.
I, for pretty much every reason that you just said, I actually gave this a 0.5. Uh-huh. The saving grace for this movie was the lady in distress. I thought that was just such a fantastic scene. I thought it was very tastefully done. Mm-hmm. At some point, maybe you saw a side butt. I counted half a point there.
Sure. Like it.
I do really love that category because of how open for interpretation it is. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to explain it to anybody that we have on the show that has to do this rating.
Yeah, they interpret.
Take it for what you want.
Yep, that's what I like about all of this. So,
Kyle, next up, this is not a very important category. Has a maximum of 2 points, which might actually be generous. I think there are some movies that we could do for Action Movie December. Part two or one that would have the full two, but music. I'm going to jump out and say I have this at a very generous one.
Mm-hmm.
It's noticeable when you're listening to it, very low techno-y a little bit going through the movie. It sets a tone. What that tone is, I don't know, but it's there.
I also gave it a 1 for very similar reasons. I think overall it's a very forgettable score. It's serviceable. What I mean by that is that it also doesn't distractingly take you away from the movie. Like, no part of the techno music is like distracting. It's not made with like a baby cry sample that makes you focus on the music over the fight scene, which is what you should be focusing on. But I gave it a 1 also because all the piano stuff, at least for me, was fairly recognizable. If some of it was fairly simple, but I like that. And I consider that part of the soundtrack because they are playing that. And I really like that aspect of it. So yeah, I gave it a 1.
That's a really good point and something that I didn't even take into consideration. And now I feel a lot better about my 1 that I gave it because that is such an important part of the movie. And I was just thinking about that, that music that you really have to listen to hear, which mm-hmm. is fine. It's non-distracting. So yeah, good call.
Next up, Shawnee, we got quips, which I'm also taking some interpretation. What?
I was just giving you a big old goose egg. Go on.
Oh, that was your score for?
Yeah.
So yeah, I took this to, I'm interpreting quips to also include like a classic one-liner.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%.
Okay. On this one, I was maybe a little generous. I did give it a 1 because I feel Bob Hoskins does have at least a one-liner that he repeats, but it does get kind of just dropped halfway. But I did like every time when he would pop Danny's collar, it would like do a slow-mo of just like his mouth saying, "Get him," in that Cockney accent.
I couldn't figure out what he was saying.
As saying, "Get him," like a dog, like, "Get him, get him."
Yeah, I couldn't tell if he was saying kill or get it. Like, yeah. I couldn't put it together. And, like, one of the downsides of watching this on YouTube was the inability to turn on subtitles.
Sure, sure. Yeah, you did have that.
I so badly wanted.
It would help with Cockney. Yeah, you're right. Especially the old Cockney. I didn't have a problem. But, yeah, that's what he's saying. He's saying, get him. Get him.
So I wish at the end of the movie when he was trying to get Danny to kill him, he said, get him.
I know. It would have been a nice circular all-around thing. But yeah. It doesn't happen. But I did give it a generous one. What's our maximum there, two?
One.
Let me change it to a 0.5.
Okay.
Because it's nothing fantastical, but...
Even with what you just said, I am tempted to bump mine up from a 0 to a 0.5. But I don't think this movie, in the grand scheme of an action movie, deserves anything above a 0 for me in terms of quips, one-liners, or standout action audio clips. So unfortunately, that will get a 0 from me. Moving into our final category, we have story.
Yeah.
We all know that story in an action movie doesn't really matter. So we have a maximum point value of 1 here. It's almost like a bonus point for the movie.
Essentially, Kyle,
what did you give this movie?
Similar to, I think, kind of my reasoning and theme. I feel this movie has a story and it's serviceable and it keeps you engaged and moves the movie along. It has purpose. I gave this a 1. I feel this deserves a story point. So, yeah, 1.
Awesome. I also gave it a 1.
Nice. All right. Hey, first action movie story got a 1.
I think so. I was tempted to go with a 0.5 because of just like, it almost felt a little disjointed there in the middle where it like it included that whole fight pit like double take for seemingly no reason other than to just get more action scenes in there. So it did muddy the story a little bit. And some of the story just felt, you know what? They tried. There was a story there and I'm happy that there was. There was a beginning, middle, and an end. We got there. Good stuff. That gave us a 1. So we do have a bonus point that we can assign to this movie. Was there a dope weapon in this movie?
Dope weapon is hard. I feel for me, there's 2 that we could qualify if we want to discuss them real quick and then we can decide.
Okay, what you got? And
the 2 that I would qualify or offer for consideration are the fully automatic Glock, which I think is cool, although it's underused.
That was pretty
cool. Or the fireplace shovel. Funny, quirky, unique. Cool. It's also just kind of underused. But it might be perfectly used amount because it is a fucking fireplace shovel. What is its effectiveness really?
I don't think that we can even qualify that like as a weapon though.
Okay.
That felt like more of like a shield. Like he was just trying to like shield himself from this machete onslaught. And he got one swipe.
That's what I was going to say. He does get like the one cut where like he cuts his pants, but neither of them get cut with either of these blades. So, okay. We'll cut that one out. What about the Glock?
I don't think anybody was even shot with it.
They weren't. That is true.
So I don't even know if we can count that. Like it annihilated 3 pillows.
Sure.
But so did my mom last night.
Okay. All right, then. Just kidding. So we're giving it a 0 bonus point in the cool weapon category. I'm cool with that. Like I said, I just wanted to bring those up. I'm glad we discussed them. I think that was fair.
I like this. I like if we can, you know, while we watch these, think of like the cool things that we thought popped out. So what did that bring your kick-assometer score to?
Let me see. Movie? I got 6, 7, 8, 9, 10... 11, 12, plus 0.5, 13 total.
Wow. 13 out of 23. 13
out of 23.
I gave this movie a 11.5 out of 23, which that may sound low.
Yeah.
And that's why I think it's fun to do this instead of like what we would give this movie. Because I think that this movie is a much better movie than 11.5 out of 23. But on this completely arbitrary scale that now I'm thinking about it may or may not be ripping off the Kate podcasters.
Oh, it totally is. But I thought that was part of the fun of it. And we're only doing it for this one theme month. I really enjoyed that aspect of it because fuck those guys.
Oh man, yeah. I think this is fun. I think this is silly. I can't wait to like just kind of track these movies in a super silly, stupid way that doesn't really matter. I enjoyed your pick, man. I really enjoyed
this. Excellent. Movie. I'm glad. I'm glad that it held up. I haven't seen it in a long time, but I did remember liking it. I'm glad that you liked it. I always like when something I pick always tickles the Sean feathers too, and I can tell when you're being nice tickle or when you do it really enjoy it. I think you really enjoyed this movie.
I'm being nice tickled.
St. Maude, I think you didn't like as much as you thought that you did at the time of the
movie. Oh, 100%.
And so I think that was a nice Sean tickle.
I don't think I was
feathers.
Really being nice about it.
I thought you were.
Oh.
Okay. But I was like, I don't think Sean really did like this movie, but okay, maybe I'm wrong. But I think the ending
of that movie was stupid.
Fair enough. Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was ridiculous, but
she lit herself on fire on the beach or something, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And the end of that movie sucked.
Wanted to be a spectacle for God. I love this fucking rating system. This is fun. I love that it's 23, which is such a stupid, arbitrary number that has no meaning. That's beautiful to me. You know, you tickled all my feathers. I love the kick-ass-ometer. I can't wait to show it to the other people. Get ready. Next up, Sean, is your choice, which is, Streets of Fire.
1984 Streets of Fire.
Is it streaming anywhere? Have you confirmed yet? Because, man, I did not know this was nowhere until I was trying to watch it for this week.
If it's not, I'll rent it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I couldn't even rent this on Amazon. Like, it was a thank God I found that YouTube upload because there was nowhere else to watch this.
Oh, your movie. Oh, no.
Yeah.
I mean, I can rent it on Amazon Prime.
Cool.
On YouTube. Yeah.
It's one of those that, like, I assume I've heard of this movie, so of course it's got to be able to rent somewhere. In the 30 fucking subscription services I have, one of them will have this movie. No, they don't, Sean. Except for who? Good old faithful YouTube. Always
coming
through.
Dude, there's
a lot
of movies that you just can't stream anywhere because it has like ties into like the
different weird licensing or
in like the Weinstein Corporation. Like a lot of stuff can't be streamed. It's fucking crazy.
Fucking terrible time. Anyways, we're the fuck out of here because holy shit, we've gone an hour and 16. Well done, buddy.
That's a good movie.
Yeah.
All right, folks. You can go. What can they do, Kyle?
You can go. No, all right. Would you rather be an attack dog for a criminal gangster, or would you rather be the strongest gimp in an underground fighting ring?
Okay, hold on. Is the underground fighting rank, is that a fight to the death thing that I would be a part of, or can you just like fight and give up?
I think you could fight and just get your ass beat. It's not going to be fight to death.
I'm
going to
be the toughest
fighter.
Gimp. I'm going to be the toughest gimp, dude.
Like it's you. There's a bunch of other gimps that you fight, but you're the big gimp in this.
Somebody give me my ball gag. I'm going in.
Ah, I love it. I love it. I love you, buddy.
Love you too, dude.